Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Belichick's lost a step to me.
I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this.
This is Annex Squared.
That's right. It is Annex Squared, episode 13. Today is November 29th, 2022, Tuesday morning. My name is Jason Annick, joined by my twin brother, the voice of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, John Annick. Last week, we were live in St. Petersburg for Thanksgiving week. We made three picks going against each other. This week, we're going to talk about NFL week 13, recap week 12 last week. I love being in the same spot, man. It's like back in the day when we're 8, 9 years old, dreaming about doing a radio show. This is what I had in mind. And with the pandemic, and maybe even before the pandemic, it's like all these singles, everyone doing, you know, single in the same house. You're maybe in different locations in the same house. So nice to be in your presence. Last week, it resulted in a slap. What's up, buddy? It's amazing how many people in this day and age haven't met the person who maybe produces their podcast or haven't even met the person that they host a podcast with because they're never in the same room. But it's good to be here. I kind of feel like Henry Cejudo. I don't know if it's a posture issue. I'm feeling very short today, so maybe I have to sit up a little bit. But
samurai.
Yeah, I think so. Your Yuri Prohaska style haircut today. But it was cool to be able to watch the Thanksgiving Day football games with you a little bit. As a Patriots fan, that nightcap against the Minnesota Vikings was absolutely infuriating, even if I did have a ticket on Minnesota. But a lot to dissect after an eventful week 12, some two-point conversions to win a couple of football games. So we'll look back at that and get into the selections for week 13, which at least to you look like a difficult board early Tuesday morning. I don't want to – I might have had one game I – liked, literally one game I liked. But anyway, let's get back to week 12 real quick. So if you didn't see our show last week, we decided to go head-to-head on all three Thanksgiving Day games. So ultimately, the three selections we gave out all hit. So I got the first selection. I picked Minnesota -3 at the time. I think it closed at 2.5, so that hit. We'll get into that game a little bit more. And then John chose the Lions +9 against the Bills, so I had to take the Bills -9. Lions ended up being in our 5 in the contest picks. We'll get into that. But I love the Lions. That was an easy cover. They should have won that game. And then the third game, Cowboys -9 against the Giants. Fascinating game there. You took the Giants, if I'm not mistaken, +9. And unbelievable that they get inside the number 8. That if I'm a Cowboy, that's a bad beat if I'm on the Cowboys, to be honest. But I liked the Cowboys in that spot, even though that pick was given to me. So the three Thanksgiving games, you hit me 2-1. I selected the Vikings. I hit. You had both dogs, Giants, Lions. So that's where we started there. And then the other two selections I made, what a infuriating week for me. But the other two selections I made were Jaguars +4 against the Ravens. And that looked a little bit dicey for a second, but they end up winning the football game. We'll get into those two games won by 2-point conversions at the end this week. But so Jacksonville +4 versus Ravens, I hit. And then Falcons +4 at Commanders, I lose. Just unbelievable. I don't even know where to begin. We'll get into this game a little bit because we did have that in the contest as well. But so for me, it was a 2-3. But the three games I picked was 2-1. The two losses that were given to me were obviously going against you. So I was 2-3 that week. Ultimately, it is what it is. You don't like getting two of your three losses being games given to you. I felt like the Falcons was a bad beat. Felt like I saw the board decently last week. I know you did well. Talk to me. Give me your picks from last week.
Well, the Seattle Seahawks I had home to the Raiders, and obviously they lost that game outright, and I'll have more on the Raiders coming up in week 13, and then the Colts on Monday Night Football -2.5 was obviously not a good selection. You know, yeah, lucky to get the Giants home to be sure, but anytime you're getting that many points divisionally speaking, I will always take them. You can be sure I will not be back with the New York Giants as a home underdog to the Washington Commanders in week 13. The Giants just aren't very good, and I know Brian Daboll and a well-coached team can sort of cloak some of the deficiencies, but that New York Giants team is not one that I'm going to be looking at back moving forward. Over 500 in the contest at 3-2, but certainly we submitted our picks early, got to 2-0 after Thanksgiving, so we're really hoping to get a 4-1 or even a 5-0 home, and we did not do that.
So in terms of the head-to-head, I remain 4 games back. We both went 2-3.
Yeah, I guess everything we need to talk about is in the contest picks. But in terms of our head-to-head, you are now back to 500 at 30-30. I sit at a paltry 25-33-2. 4 games back, though. It is what it is. Let's move on to the contest picks because that was really frustrating for me. As you said, we went 3-2. So heading into week 12 in the Circa Million 4 Pro Football Contest, we sat at 29-23-3. After a 3-2 week, we sit at 32-25-3, which is just okay. Not great. Let's talk about the two losses. I don't want to talk much about this, so we'll brush over this one quickly. The Colts -2.5 last night. Yeah, I did like it on Thursday when we selected it, but come Monday night, I didn't like it. And I texted you as soon as that game started. It was very clear that the Steelers were the better team. I understand Indianapolis late had a chance to tie the game. It is what it is. But ultimately, that side, we would have been lucky to get that one home. And live wagers, folks, I can't emphasize it enough. Now, part of the reason I'm here today is because my cable and my internet are both out, so I didn't get to see so much as a snap of the Monday Night Football game. But be convicted, especially when you have an early feel, right? He felt convicted that Pittsburgh was going to win that game, and certainly the game did get tied up late. But don't be afraid on a game like that, if you don't really have a good feel, to wait until you can bet it live. How did I play the game when push came to shove? I did a teaser with the Pittsburgh Steelers in week 12 and the Buffalo Bills in week 13. So now I need Buffalo just to beat the Patriots outright on Thursday, and that's a win. So that was a loss. Our second loss, I just have to talk about this because I lost on Annex Squared. I lost it in the contest. Falcons +4.5 in the contest. What a great fucking selection that doesn't come in. Those who didn't see, they get the ball down to the goal line at the end of the game. They're down 6. They have a chance, Atlanta, to punch it in, and an extra point would give them the victory there. They get a pass interference in the end zone, and they still can't punch it in. They end up having the ball deflected and picked off. That just felt like a really bad beat for me. The Commanders are just not a covering machine. They've won 3 in a row. It's just unbelievable. It feels like they could have lost 3 in a row easily. So that game felt like a tough beat there. I felt like Atlanta really had an opportunity to win that game, especially given that their division is led by the 5-6 Brady-led Buccaneers. So big opportunity for the Falcons. I think that was a big opportunity for us in the contest. Had we hit that game, we're looking at a 4-1, and 33-24-3 is a lot different. 9 games over 500 versus 7 is different. So those were the two losses, Colts and Falcons. Our 3 hits, the Vikings -2.5. Now that game, I will say, I thought the Patriots were the better team. Vikings had a kick return for the touchdown. I was very impressed with the Patriots. We'll get into Mac Jones a little bit, but I felt a little bit lucky to get that Vikings -2.5 home in the contest, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I think that's fair. And as far as the Falcons are concerned, you know, Marcus Mariota, you kind of get what you pay for. You get what you pay for a little bit, right? I mean, I think your expectations are that this Atlanta outfit is, I know they've been a covering machine. They've been an overachieving team this year, but I mean, I'm certainly not going to be looking to back Taylor Heinicke as a road favorite in week 13. Absolutely not. But I don't know. I mean, I felt like the Falcons at times this year, just a little bit undisciplined, a little bit turnover prone, and just not a tight enough ship. You know, I didn't feel great even late in that game. You know, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. As far as the Vikings are concerned, yeah, there were times watching that game where I felt like the New England Patriots were the better team. And there were just a few uncharacteristic mistakes from New England, whether it came to clock management issues at the end of the half or just penalties.
Yeah, and they can't punch it in the red zone. They just can't get the ball.
A lot of teams getting burned by the running into the kicker too, which is totally inexcusable when you got a 4th-and-2 or a 4th-and-3. So I look for New England other teams to shore up some of those mental errors in week 13.
So the Vikings was a hit in the nightcap at Thanksgiving, and I thought we played Thanksgiving well. The 3 picks we gave out on Annex Squared were 3-0. We also put the Lions +9.5 in our contest picks. So and when you submit the contest picks, if you're selecting the Thursday game, you've got to put all 5 in on Thursday. So we were on Vikings -2.5, Lions +9.5 hosting the Bills. Both of those hit. We didn't put the Cowboys-Giants game in our 5 in the contest, which looked like a good decision. I mean, that certainly could have gone either way in terms of the point spread. Our final hit, Browns +3.5 home to the Buccaneers. That was a good selection there. I had talked about Tampa Bay last week, and I still oddly believe in that team in a way, but I didn't love them traveling on the road. Certainly, it was a funky game that ended up getting into overtime. There was some crazy statistic about Brady with a 7-point lead, like late in the fourth quarter, like 218-0. And then they end up losing in overtime too. So obviously the Browns come in +3.5. They win the game outright. So a 3-2. I got a couple things to get into about week 12. Anything else from you on our 3-2?
Well, I was just going to say, as far as the Cleveland Browns are concerned, as you spin it forward to week 13, Deshaun Watson is now back And lo and behold, he makes his first start as a Cleveland Brown in Houston against the Texans. Cleveland is laying 7. And we were talking in our pre-show meeting this morning. Cleveland Brown's got a lot of weapons. We're not even talking about the backfield with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but Donovan Peoples-Jones and Amari Cooper, who had a big drop this week, but maybe made up for it.
Almost cost us, yeah.
And David Njoku, the tight end. You know, Jacoby Brissett has played well. He relinquishes the baton here. But Deshaun Watson is going to be put in a position to succeed, especially given the matchup in Week 13.
So a couple things I want to get to with you from Week 12 before we get into our 13 selection. So I went on a little bit of a rant a couple weeks back on Annex Square just about these two-point conversions. And obviously, it's unbelievable 15 years ago versus now. And I could have looked this up at how many two-point conversion attempts are even attempted per game. It wasn't a part of the game like it was. And so two games. So Jaguars beat the Ravens. Chargers beat the Cardinals, both on two-point conversions with like less than 15 seconds left. You know, down one, go for two to win the game. And so one thing I did want to say, you know, so Trevor Lawrence made a great throw to Zay Jones, who had had a great game to win that game. But the Chargers play call, a brilliant play call on that two-point conversion, brilliantly executed. They sort of ran Keenan Allen, then had Gerald Everett run a sort of tight in right behind him. It was just a slam dunk. As long as you make a throw and a catch, that it's going to happen. So, and I do think it is fascinating. It's like when you have a two-point play to win the game, it's like,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the best play in your play, but it has to be.
Well, statistically, the numbers say you should go for it algorithmically or whatever the fuck it is, right? But you also have to have the quarterback. Like Marcus Mariota at the goal line is trash,
great
right?
Point.
Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence at the goal line, right? You talk about simplistically making a throw. I mean, if you miss Trevor Lawrence on that two-point conversion to Zay Jones, that's as good as it gets. There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that can't throw a spiral that tight in that situation. Period. And Justin Herbert is another guy who can do it. But yeah, I mean, obviously those are two head coaches in Brandon Staley and Doug Peterson who historically have had the conviction to go for it in those situations. I know you disagree with it. Sometimes it can be tricky if you're sitting on a Chargers -2.5 ticket and they go for the win there, right? Wouldn't mind the overtime, which would have kept that ticket alive. But yeah, that was a pretty cool sort of wrinkle there
to see
two teams get a win like that.
Yeah, and I like that. And obviously the Jaguars, I mean, are not mathematically eliminated, but ultimately going for two there, sort of house money, where the Chargers really do have things to play for, right? So there was a big swing there. But also the way the NFL overtime is constructed, it's like people don't want to go to overtime, you know, and for good reason. So anyway, I think it's pretty fascinating. And while I don't like the two-point conversions mid-game, I think it is fascinating, and I do like it in that spot.
Yeah.
It's fascinating to think about postseason games and what might happen in situations like that if you go for it in that spot. Obviously, in the NFL postseason, the overtime rules are tweaked, so both teams will possess the ball. Another thing I want to talk about, running quarterbacks, and you and I have talked about this for years, I feel like, and Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico were talking about this Sunday night, and with respect to them, they were talking about, you know, the league sort of moving away from that drop back passer and really needing a running quarterback. And when they were having the conversation, what I was thinking in my head is like, yeah, guys, like this is a conversation that you could have had 3 or 4 years ago. I felt like it was going in that direction. And I understand you have guys like Tom Brady, right? Now, Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, you get free agents that are going to re-sign there. You have free agents that are going to go there. And 3 years ago, you know, it still made a lot of sense. And I think you can still win with a drop back quarterback. But part of my frustration with Bill Belichick is you have to be pliable. You have to be open-minded. You have to move toward the future. And I think Bill Belichick still thinks he can do it with a drop-back passer. You've talked about Lamar Jackson and the opportunity to draft Lamar Jackson. But for me, you have to have a quarterback that can move. I cannot tell you how often the Patriots have been burned by running quarterbacks over the years in different spots with broken plays. It is such a gift to have someone that can move a little bit when these plays break down in this league. I think it's paramount. I can't imagine 5 years from now that there's going to be a lot of success if you have that sort of strength. I understand that could be an exception. There might, you know, I'm not saying Joe Burrow isn't going to hoist a trophy. I think he will.
Talk to me. I mean, I know how strongly you feel about
this. No, this is as animated and heated as I get about almost any generic NFL argument. Like, why, if you are a general manager or talent evaluator, would you not want a quarterback who can move a little bit with his legs, right? Like, Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa can get you a first down more than, like, Mac Jones can, right? So, like, wouldn't you want a guy who can at least move? I don't need Jalen Hurts nor Lamar Jackson necessarily, but I need somebody who can make a play. Like, you want someone who's faster than John fucking Anik, don't you? Don't you?
No, right? I hear you.
Well, so I agree largely with the sentiment, but Tua doesn't necessarily move a lot. I just think offensively, as far as coordination and game plan and offensive system, you have to be able to pivot and you have to be willing to draft a quarterback who can move. I mean, Kenny Pickett is fairly immobile, but he can move a lot better than a guy like Mac Jones.
Oh, absolutely. No, and he has a lot of set. They ran plenty of draws for him.
Yeah,
you know, you're not running draws. Yeah, he can move. But anyway, I just had to touch on that because we have talked about that for many years, and that Lamar Jackson draft, I had like my head in my hands as if we're losing a Super Bowl. I was so convicted on that at the time. I got to touch on one thing before we get to week 13, Jordan Love. Did you catch any of this kid playing football?
No.
There's a lot of rumors, and I shouldn't say rumors, but a lot of talk that he had made some improvements and it was a different guy in the preseason and in practices leading up to this season. He looked legit. He looked like he could play. I hope Rodgers doesn't play this week. I hope he gets that opportunity. I know they have a bye the following week, but I'd love to see him play a game again. He made some good throws. And ultimately with Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's long for this game. I wouldn't be surprised for he and Brady both to leave after this year. You know, it's interesting. I heard someone make the point, I forget who it is, but for Rodgers, right? If he were I think Brady's done after this year. No matter what, really do. So if Rodgers retires this year, then your Hall of Fame induction is with Brady. Right. And you're certainly 1B, right? And it does that factor in. Now, certainly, I think there's a chance Rodgers comes back next year, but this kid, Jordan Love, I was impressed. I hope we get to see him play this weekend. I don't know if Justin Fields will be healthy, but that could be an interesting matchup for those two teams.
I really am curious to see what happens with Tom Brady. Now, certainly, if there were a betting line out there, the overwhelming favorite would be the side that he would retire. But if Giselle is no longer in the picture, right, there is no denying that Tom Brady, at least as far as from an accuracy standpoint, I mean, he's still top eight in the league. Is he not in terms of an NFL quarterback, right? So situationally, he will be an unrestricted free agent who doesn't need to make money. He could almost pick his landing spot. And I don't know, maybe San Francisco makes sense. It seems to me like he wants to see himself in that red jersey with the white lettering before all is said and done. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I know at some points there were rumblings of him in Miami. It's interesting. You know, Matt Ryan looks much older than Tom Brady out there. You know what I mean? It's just, and Peyton Manning, obviously at the end was, I mean, that Super Bowl, his second Super Bowl, he was atrocious.
Well, and even Aaron Rodgers is throwing interceptions that historically haven't necessarily been a part of his game. I'm just saying that Tom Brady doesn't appear to have fallen off a cliff, even though I am expectant that he will walk away at the end of the year.
I'll get into Mac Jones with the pick, but Mac Jones, we've been so antagonistic, for lack of a better word, with Mac Jones, and we've been very hard on him, and I have seen so much that I like. So as I move into my first pick, I will get into Mac Jones. But just so you all know, if you haven't watched Anik Swear before, each week, as we've done, we make five picks against each other, but the ultimate goal is to get our five picks ready for the Circa 4 Pro Football Contest. So we're going to give you our five picks head-to-head for week 13, and then as we go along through the week, we will submit our five. We've had more success submitting with the contest than we have on Anik Squared. Got to be honest, picking early in the week is just not an advantage. I'm scrambling, looking up injuries. I don't know if Justin Fields is going to play Sunday. You know, so there are certain games that I don't think we're trying to pick five games really from not a big pool if there are so many variables. I mean, Chase Young, for example, does that impact the Commanders-Giants game this weekend? I think it does. It seems his knee's better. I think he missed a game because of illness last week. Anyway, let's roll into our five. Who's going to start? You, me?
Well, you can start us off. I will just caveat by saying that when it comes to the Bears-Packers game, we sit here not knowing if Justin Fields or Aaron Rodgers is going to play. So I kind of like the Bears plus +3 right now. Small play in my account, but I'm not sure who's going to play quarterback for either side. As such, the Bears will not be in my five. All right, I will begin. My first selection is going to be the Thursday nighter, as you might expect, the Buffalo Bills -5 at the New England Patriots. 43.5 the total, perhaps suggesting some weather could be involved because Buffalo, in the last two meetings against New England last year, scored 80 points themselves, 80-38 over those last two meetings.
Yep.
That included a drubbing in January in the playoff game. Overall, three meetings between the Bills and Patriots last year, Buffalo averaged 30 points a game, 90 to 52. Running back issues for the Patriots, right? Ramondre Stevenson looks like a most valuable player when he has the football in his hands, but Damian Harris is not going to play this week, right? And I think that could be a potentially big issue for New England, who will try to shorten the game. I was very encouraged by what we saw out of Mac Jones. You know, yes, I'm willing to die on that hill that I don't think he's the long-term solution in New England. Certainly, you can argue at times that Minnesota game was the best game that he has ever played. But I just see a huge discrepancy, 1 through 45 here. And I like the Buffalo Bills. I thought this number would be 7 or 6.5. I'm getting it at 5, Buffalo minus 5 at New England. And I think that the Patriots, right, it's a good week for Bill Belichick motivationally because so many things went wrong. Penalties, mental lapses. But I think this is the week in which Buffalo rises to the top and shows you that New England really is the basement of the AFC East.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
We were considering on Annex Squared that if one of us made a selection that the other one couldn't be on that same game, right? So if he gives out Bills minus 5, even if that was in my 5, I would have to pivot. I wouldn't be able to. So we may bring that up as the show goes on, but that is not a rule yet. And I didn't want to pick this game, but I'm also on the Bills minus 5. Weather could be a factor. I think it could be a tight game. But if you recall the game at Buffalo before those two blowouts you described, last year at Buffalo, Mac Jones has 3 pass attempts. Everyone's talking about the brilliance of Bill Belichick. They, you know, it was weather and wind, and they just sort of ran the ball and won. I think maybe that vaulted them to 9-4. But then they got absolutely stomped, like you said, by the Bills. And then that postseason game, which was 47-17, was just an – I think that's – these teams are not evenly matched. If the weather slows down Josh Allen, I certainly think it could be close. I didn't want to play this game. I dislike the slate so much that I sort of feel obligated. And ultimately for the Patriots, this year does feel a lot like last year, where they really sort of were doing kind of well, but then it sort of went the other way. Now, I will say the Patriots sitting at 6-5, those 5 losses, man, like a lot of winnable games in there. It's unbelievable how this team really could be sitting at 8-3. As crazy as that may sound. So my first selection also Bills minus 5. But I will say about Mac Jones, it's 2 straight games where he's been very impressive. And I just like so much about his body. Like, I like him throwing his helmet down in the field after the loss. I like how he's just so invested. He has so many Tom Brady characteristics to me in his personality. And I really was impressed with him throwing the ball down the field. I'm feeling for him a little bit. And I will say, I'm not so sure that he's not the guy. Yeah. As crazy as that, I can't believe I'm saying that, but I really like what I've seen from him the past 2 weeks, even both in losing efforts.
I just looked over at your notes, and I shouldn't have cheated it, but we have a lot of similarities this week. So let us get to the next game that I believe we both are on. The Tennessee Titans coming off a loss at home to Cincinnati, plus 5 at the Philadelphia Eagles. Tennessee's rushing defense is outstanding. 3rd fewest rushing yards allowed in the NFL. Fewest rushing touchdowns allowed all year. And Tennessee is a good football team. I know they have a 3-game divisional lead, but they're 7-4. It's a bet on the head coach. It's a bet on the running back. Ryan Tannehill has certainly looked deer in headlights again at times this season. But, you know, give me Tennessee plus 5 at Philadelphia. That is 10-1, but I don't think they're worlds better than Tennessee and worlds better than the NFL overall as a whole. And I'm an AFC guy over an NFC guy. Give me the Tennessee Titans plus 5.
Yeah, I'm on that side too in the 5. You know, the Eagles, they did give up 33 points. I just like the Titans team, and I like the Cincinnati Bengals going in there and winning that. I've been saying for 3 straight weeks that I'm a big believer in the Cincinnati Bengals, and I wasn't a believer at the beginning of the season. I picked them and the Titans to miss the postseason, but like, I can't get enough of the Bengals. It's not my 5, but I love them at home to Kansas City.
Really?
Like, give me all of Joe Burrow. It's not my 5. Anyway, so the Titans plus 5 at the Eagles is also my pick. I will say that I think with the Titans and the Eagles, I think I just think it's going to be a very physical, close game. I do expect the Eagles to win. I'm not sure if the Titans can hang, but I think Derrick Henry has a great chance to run against this team. A.J. Dillon had some success, certainly Aaron Jones. There's some space to operate against this Eagles team. I like the Titans as well, plus +5. I think Mike Vrabel, everyone talking about him now as the best head coach in the league or one of the best coaches. You know, it's like you go from underrated and then everybody's talking about you and then they're anointing him. But I do think he'll have his team ready to prepare. I love his body language in all spots. Give me the 5.
All right, next game for me, I'm doing it. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars +1 at the Detroit Lions. Now, historically, it kind of feels like a game where Jacksonville goes in and just makes a bunch of uncharacteristic mistakes, right? But I do believe that when we look back at Trevor Lawrence's career, we are going to look back at what he did last week against Baltimore as the jumping off point. And I do believe they will continue the momentum against the Detroit Lions team that is undisciplined and inconsistent. The Detroit backfield scares the piss out of me, of course, right? Those running backs really make plays. And obviously Detroit has a lot of weaponry as far as the passing game is concerned as well. But I'm just going to take Trevor Lawrence and Zay Jones and the Jacksonville Jaguars to keep it going. I feel like they're playing hard for Doug Peterson. I do believe I have the better head coach and by a pretty significant margin here with respect to Dan Campbell, just as far as the play calling is concerned. And you know, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to keep it going here and continue the momentum built against Baltimore. Give me Jacksonville +1 at Detroit to win the game outright at the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. You know, the Lions had won 3 straight. They had great opportunities to win that football game on Thanksgiving. So I would lean the other side, I think, in that game.
Extra rest for Detroit, too.
You know, and also, too, everyone talking about Trevor Lawrence in this last drive. And did anybody see the fumble that at the beginning of the drive? It was very fortunate to be recovered by his own team. There are a lot of different factors that I think lead to different lines as they move the following week. Anyway, my third selection, which I know you're not on, is the Giants +2.5 hosting the Commanders. You talked about not being on both sides of this. You don't like the Commanders as a road favorite, and you don't think the Giants are that good. To me, I just think a little too much respect for the Washington Commanders in Vegas. They should have lost to Atlanta. I know they've won 3 straight. The Giants are coming off a Thanksgiving Day loss to the Cowboys, where I think the Cowboys very well could be the best all-around team in the NFL right now. And the Giants, they still played tough. They still hung around. They got that backdoor cover. But I think the Giants are a little bit of a division opponent. So it's fascinating. So Washington has a bye. So this game is at New York. Then Washington has a bye, and then they run it back 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
The Giants go to Minnesota in between. So I think this is kind of a must win here for the Giants. If you lose this game, then you're 7-6, assuming they lose to Minnesota. I think it's a big, big spot here for the Giants. Commanders may get Chase Young back even. But give me Daboll's boys as a home dog. It's 2.5. I certainly would probably buy a point or tease it up a little bit, but I'm going to take the Giants +2.5 at home. Little bit of an opposite play here. Maybe I like some of what's happening with the Commanders, but I'm just sort of going to go with the Giants here. Home dog to get to 8-4.
Has this ever happened in NFL history? What a weird scheduling situation for the Washington Commanders that you referenced. They play at the Giants in week 13, then have the bye, and then they play home to the Giants in week 15. Has an NFL team ever played, playoffs notwithstanding, during the regular season, been scheduled to play another team back-to-back? I know there's a bye week in between.
No,
that is bananas.
Well, I think the Jets and the Patriots played each other this season. One, you know, played each other, then 1 week in between or something. You know, playing another opponent. But I don't think it's the first time something like this has happened. But it is very interesting, and that led me a little bit to maybe law of averages a little bit. The Giants get this one, then they go lose at Minnesota, and then maybe come down to Washington and lose. But ultimately, the Commanders, they should have lost to Atlanta, and now they're favored at the Giants. Thanks.
I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins with my 4th selection, +3.5 at the San Francisco 49ers. Mike McDaniel going back to San Francisco. I actually read this morning that he was an Atlanta Falcons assistant when the Patriots rallied from that 28-3 deficit to win that Super Bowl.
Couldn't get in Kyle Shanahan's ear to tell him to run the ball a couple times?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike McDaniel's been on the sidelines for a couple of Super Bowl losing efforts. Might just get there this year in his first season as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. But,
right?
You know, I expect this will close 3, maybe. But it's certainly not going to close 3.5. It's certainly not going to go to 4. So I think I'm getting a good number here with Miami. The Dolphins have won 5 in a row. I know they rested a lot of their starters last week, not necessarily in anticipation of this game, but because they had a big lead against Houston and were able to hold on. I just like Miami. I really do. I like them as one of the classier outfits of the AFC. I'm catching more than a field goal. I think they're going to win this game at San Francisco. I think Tua you know, might even get tracked here to win the MVP. And Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, we talk so much about them. And Jeff Wilson running the ball hard. He's going to be motivated against his former mates, as will be Raheem Mostert if he's healthy, right? But like Tyreek Hill, we talk about the numbers and everything else. But when you watch, he's just such a game changer. Like, he really is. And whenever they get him the ball, more often than not, it's like a first down. And if you're on the other side of Tyreek Hill, like, it's nauseating, right? He's always making plays against you. So I don't know. I see playmakers on both sides, but I like the Finns to go into San Francisco as underdogs and get away.
Yeah, so that's in my 5-2. And I'm going to just say here, one of the things I wanted with Annex Squared was this type of week, where if there are sides where we're both on the same side, that just is what it is. Whether it's not necessarily the twin thing, but that just is what it is. So this may be the third side we're both on. Miami plus 3.5. I think they're the better team. San Francisco scored 13 points last week. Okay. I know they shut down the Saints, but you know, so Andy Dalton, Taysom Hill combo platter. I mean, come on. Huh. So for me, I don't think the 49ers defense is going to let Miami run wild. I don't think they're going to have 30 points in the first half, but I just think Miami's better. And while everybody sort of loves San Francisco and talks about them getting to the Super Bowl and all that, they got a great roster. They're not world beaters. And I think I really like the Dolphins. Maybe as much as any. I mean, for me, I'm kind of week to week. But if you're forcing me, I may say Cowboys Dolphins in the Super Bowl today, right? So I'm all in on this Miami team. I can't get enough of Mike McDaniel. And you know, it's like I look at Bill Belichick on the sidelines, and I know you don't like the Belichick. I respect everything that Belichick has done, but we live in South Florida. I know so many Dolphins fans down here, and I see Mike McDaniel with his glasses on the sideline, a little tinted glass. I mean, I cannot get enough of this guy, and what I wouldn't give for this guy to be running my football team, calling plays. I just like these young guys. Give me the Dolphins plus 3.5. I'll probably play them on the money line. I think they get the win.
I'll just say Bill Belichick put the Patriots in position to beat the Vikings, and
you're right.
That loss is on the players,
you're right,
by and large.
You're right.
So
I agree.
All right, fifth and final selection for me. And by the way, I do like the Kansas City Chiefs -2 at Cincinnati. I don't know if Ja'Marr Chase is going to play. He absolutely torched Kansas City last year, but I do like the revenge factor for Kansas City. But my fifth and final selection, give me the Las Vegas Raiders +2 home to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Raiders, they're still showing fight. They've won 2 in a row. I love watching Max Crosby play football and attack the quarterback, and not just because he's a big UFC fan. How about Josh Jacobs, right? Like, you think Josh McDaniels knows how to maximize some of these offensive players and get this offensive going?
No, I mean, you're not going to get me to nod my head at any talk about Josh McDaniels. Sorry. Positive talk.
No, that's fine. I like the Raiders. These teams met in week 1. Wild affair. I just think the Raiders have salvaged their season a little bit, and the Chargers are just so difficult to pin down, but I'm getting a couple points, slight home field advantage here at Allegiant. I'll take the home dog with the Raiders. I think they win 3 straight, find a way to get past Justin Herbert and the Chargers.
So my final selection is fucking Raiders +2.
Yeah.
So we are on 4. We've had 4 of the same 5 that we picked. So you're either going to tail us or fade it. Probably go fucking 2-2 like this league. It just, you flip a fucking coin. But either way, 4 out of our 5 picks are on the same side. I'm on the Raiders +2. I can't believe I'm doing this. Kind of an opposite play, a little bit, you know, but the Raiders lost at the Chargers 24-19 back on September 11th. If you recall last year, the Raiders had that big overtime win in the postseason against the Chargers.
Right.
I just kind of like the home team here. They've won 2 in a row. I think they carry the momentum from the overtime win at Seattle, and I'm just getting off the Los Angeles Charger roller coaster. I love Kyle Van Noy, former Patriot. Big fan of his. I love his energy. He had a funny tweet he pushed out there, you know, just talking about Brandon Staley. You know, how about my head coach? How about the balls on my guy Staley? You know, I like him. I think the Raiders still have great talent, and they still have something to play for. They haven't been mathematically eliminated, so my final selection as well, Raiders +2.
And real quickly, in terms of the 2-point conversions, I do think it's going to be interesting to see how coaches proceed in a playoff setting, but I don't think Doug Peterson's going for it because his team is, you know, 3-6.
Good point. I agree. So the 4 of 5 that were on the same side, so Bills -5, Titans +5, or Bills -5 at Patriots. That's a Thursday nighter. Titans +5 at Eagles. Dolphins +3.5 at 49ers. Raiders +2 home to the Chargers. And then my selection that you're not on is Giants +2 versus Commanders. And what's your fifth?
Jacksonville +1 at Detroit.
Fascinating. man, I'd like to go 4-0 on those picks. And you, it'll be interesting to see how many of those four make it into our contest plays, because you can be sure all four of those won't be in the contest. Some of those lines will change. Either way, love to see the Patriots get a win on Thursday night against Buffalo. Might mess with my season wins under 8.5. They might go, they got 9-7, I think, written all over. Anyway, for the man, John Anik, my name is Jason Anik. As always, this show is produced by the great Zach Phillips. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you next Tuesday on Anik Squared. Have a great week. Later.